Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
President Obama largely commuted the remaining prison sentence of Chelsea Manning today. The Army intelligence analyst convicted of an enormous 2010 leak that revealed American military and diplomatic activities across the world, disrupted the administration, and made WikiLeaks, the recipient of those disclosures, famous. And for those that don't remember, I mean, it says here that, you know, she revealed American military and diplomatic activities across the world. We're talking about, like, stuff they weren't supposed to be doing. I remember vividly the helicopter video where it was like one of those kind of night vision looking videos taken from a helicopter of just, you know, soldiers blasting away at innocent people, essentially. And so this was like pretty shocking information. It wasn't like she'd revealed information that was sort of run of the mill about the American military. This was a you know, for a lot of people who believe that the military is this perfect organization that can do no wrong. Well, she revealed plenty of wrongdoing on the behalf of the American military. And so, of course, they punished her for it. If Obama had wanted to in 2010, he could have called up the U.S. attorney and said, yeah, just go ahead and put a stop to this. Drop these charges. But he didn't.
I wonder if this has something to do with wanting to keep certain people under him on his side. And he...
Certain people under him? What do you mean? Like people...
Generals and other people who may have wanted to keep, you know, throw her in jail. Mm-hmm. And he thought he would lose their, I don't know, respect or their, his power over
while
them.
He was in office.
Yeah, while he was in office.
Could be.
Because it's not uncommon for presidents to, you know, do this kind of stuff at the end of their presidency.
Right.
So,
well,
I don't know.
Hey, you know, it worked out. I think this is great news. I heard that she won't be released until May. But regardless, I'm sure a lot of people are understandably elated about hearing this news.
I don't really remember the details, but I do believe that there's I know in death penalty cases for sure, but I believe in other cases there's certain things in extradition with certain countries where they can't do certain things if they countries won't extradite unless certain things they don't do.
Wait, who doesn't? So a country doesn't extradite to the U.S.?
Yeah,
you mean?
They won't extradite to the U.S. unless they agree to certain conditions. The U.S.
I see.
So they won't do certain things.
Or do certain things.
Or they will do certain things. Right, exactly. Because of things like they like at the international, like first world level, like our prison conditions, especially certain prisons, are so bad. And there's certain things like the confinement and, you know, throwing somebody in a hole or whatever, that they don't hold up to
international standards.
Yeah, basically international standards.
They mentioned a General Cartwright who was. I guess, let's see here, he was found guilty or pleaded guilty to lying about conversations with reporters when questioned by FBI agents regarding leaks of classified information about cyber attacks on Iran's nuclear program. In addition, Obama commuted the sentence of Oscar Lopez Rivera, who was part of a Puerto Rican nationalist group that carried out a string of bombings in the late 1970s and early 80s. The others, other members of that group had long since been freed. Obama also granted 63 other pardons and 207 other commutations, mostly of drug offenders. And we've seen the statistics here over the years. The amount of federal prisoners that are drug offenders is significant. I believe it is a majority of them.
I really have to ask how many prisoners, you know, would prefer to stay in prison over release, being released immediately.
Well, like, some would, actually. There is something to being institutionalized where they feel they've been in prison so long that that's all they know, and they don't know how to be on the outside world. I mean, if you think about it, if you've been in prison, imagine this. Like, you know, 7 years, 10 years, 20 years, there's a lot that changes. Even though it seems like 7 years isn't that much, there is a lot that can change between 7 years and today. Certainly in 20 years. I mean, if you've been in prison for 20 years, you've missed the internet. You know, you've missed 7 years, you've missed Bitcoin, pretty much. So, I mean, there's a lot that you don't get when you're behind those bars. Sure, you can read a newspaper about it. You can read whatever books somebody happens to send you, but you're stuck in the past when you're in prison, when you're in jail. I mean, the amount of connection you have to what's actually happening in the world is very, very limited.
Sunday on your podcast, you were talking about Boondoggles and the California bullet train.
Yeah, that's the $3.6 billion over its current estimated budget, and it's not even halfway done.
And you know, I live in California. I've driven the area where they're doing it from, and the area that they're starting the high-speed rail at is in the Central Valley. And if you ever, you know, I don't know if Google has Street View on the Highway 5 there, but it's the straightest, flattest, most easily to construct a road part in the world. I mean, it's just amazing. It's
wow.
If you look at the map, Highway 5 is just looks like somebody took a line and drew it on the map.
So what you're saying is they can't claim that this $3.6 billion overrun has anything to do with the conditions or, you know, having to lay the track in a difficult place. You're saying this is super easy.
Yeah, and it's super easy. This is the easiest part of the whole thing. I mean, going from the Central Valley to San Francisco and Central Valley to L.A. is going to be 100 times harder each time. And it's just,
wow.
You know, it's one of the few things I actually campaigned against was this thing. I had, you know, bumper stickers and signs and stuff against, because it's just going to be, if they're 50% over budget on this phase, wait till they hit the next phases. It's just,
wow.
It's just going to be astronomical.
I'd love to ask you a question. Is this like a commuting, like, are there lots of commuters, you know, why are they doing
there's
this?
There's a lot of people, you know, Southwest Airlines, one of the most frequent flights, they probably have 30, 40 flights a day out of LAX to San Francisco. There's a lot of people going back for maybe commuters. You know, I've gone up to visit mayor probably 15, 20 times in the last 3 years. So people are going back and forth. But it's, I don't know. I just think the projections of riderships are going to be way off. They're projecting the costs obviously are way off. A quick observation.
Sure.
I'm a consistent listener, podcast listener, and your caller James from Arizona.
Oh, God.
I find it really funny that he doesn't believe in blowback, but yet the whole reason he's mad at you guys is because you say things about him. I mean, I just find it. He's blowing back on things you say.
Now you've done it, Brian. Now you've done it. You've summoned him. Now he's going to. I'm sure he's going to call now that you've mentioned his name.
He gets angry on blowback, but he doesn't think anybody else should be angry on blowback. I find it quite hysterical.
What's new over there at Think Penguin right now?
Oh, well,
I know I'm putting you on the spot. It's hardware sales for the most part.
Yeah, we got a bunch of new Cavy Lake models in.
Cavy Lake?
Cavy Lake. It's basically the latest generation Intel CPUs and things like that.
So, wait, I thought Intel was like bad news because they got some sort of backdoor.
It's terrible. Intel is horrible. AMD is not any better, though. And
okay.
You have two choices, Intel or AMD. So we've kind of picked the least of the, you know, the least bad of the two. But honestly, it's like... Yeah, I mean, it's just, there's, yeah. I mean, what it comes down to is mostly actually ends up being support and what's got good support. Who's released the source code? And Intel's done a good job of releasing the source code.
Really?
For certain pieces, yeah.
Okay.
For graphics, absolutely. AMD's got, they bought ATI years ago.
That's right.
And Intel's got
NVIDIA, right? Or no?
No. Intel does not have NVIDIA. NVIDIA is a separate company.
Okay.
Yep. And unfortunately, AMD is they're just they bought a company that was terrible as far as, you know, releasing code. Everything's basically was proprietary, and they sort of tried to open source it, and I put that in quotes. But honestly, it's not, because it's still got those proprietary pieces, and if you remove those proprietary pieces, it doesn't work.
The commutation also relieved the Department of Defense of the difficult responsibility, this according to the New York Times, of Ms. Manning's incarceration as she pushes for treatment for her gender dysphoria, including sex reassignment surgery that the military has no experience in providing. Now, there was some sort of controversy about this in the past, where essentially she was saying, well, if you're gonna keep me here, I need medical care, and one of the things I need in the medical world is I need a vagina, or whatever it was, removal of the penis. I'm not sure how all that that works, but switching genitalia is essentially, as I understand it, what she was trying to do, and ultimately that got challenged by the military, and I think she was victorious.
Yeah, she was.
So there was a ruling that said, if you're gonna keep her, you've got to make sure she gets the treatment that she needs, so now they don't have to do that. In recent days, the White House had signaled that Obama was seriously considering granting Ms. Manning's commutation application, in contrast to a pardon application submitted on behalf of the other large-scale leaker of this era, Edward Snowden, the former intelligence contractor who disclosed archives of top-secret surveillance files and is living as a fugitive in Russia. Asked about the two clemency applications on Friday, White House spokesbureaucrat Josh Earnest discussed, quote, the pretty stark difference, he says, between Ms. Manning's case for mercy and Mr. Snowden's. While their offenses were similar, he said that there were some important differences. Quote, Chelsea Manning is somebody who went through the military criminal justice process, was exposed to due process, was found guilty, and sentenced for her crimes, and she acknowledged wrongdoing, he said. Continuing, he said, Mr. Snowden fled into the arms of an adversary and has sought refuge in a country that most recently made a concerted effort to undermine confidence in our democracy. He also noted that while the documents Manning provided to WikiLeaks were, quote, damaging to national security, unquote, the ones Mr. Snowden disclosed were, quote, far more serious and far more dangerous, unquote.
Has anybody died?
As a result of Snowden's releases?
Yeah, because that's one of the things that people keep bringing up. Nobody's died.
That's a good question. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to tax something onto Snowden's releases as far as deaths, but I haven't heard anything about
that. Yeah, yeah. It seems to be mostly FUD, which stands for fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Right, yeah.
They're saying things, but there's no evidence to back up anything they're saying.
I can't pass up the temptation to call you Minister Ian. I don't know what that means, nor do I know what the Witless Kid is all about, but at one time, he actually did have some productive comments that one could actually, consider as contributing to a conversation.
You're referring to our angry caller from last hour, James from Arizona.
James or Michael, he calls in. Yeah. He's all crazy mad for the past 6 months or year.
Yeah.
I don't know what started it. I probably shouldn't comment because he seems to go after people who even mention his name. But I don't know what happened between you all and him, but boy, he's like a mad dog.
Yeah, he's just an angry man who holds a grudge.
He goes after people for association. Me being here would be enough for him to go
after
me.
You're a bad man.
Yeah.
Well, somebody commented one time that they were concerned, and I would second that motion. I mean, he seems to be, just really on the edge. Like, one day he might hop a bus or grab a car and come up to visit you.
Well, Daryl's actually going down to Arizona in a couple days.
I would make a police report just to have it on record.
I don't care, man. I mean, Mark Edge has done that. Mark has actually received some what appear to be threats from James. And
I've heard him threaten criminally on the air. There's a difference between certain words and other words. And he's crossed the line, I think, on two occasions. I made a note of
it. At least, yeah. And then he's also – that's just what you've heard on air. He also sends text messages to us on Skype that Mark has been copying many of those and has been putting them up on a website or a Facebook page called Things James Wittekind Says, just to catalog that. But he contacted the police, and basically the cops played pass the buck.
Solitary confinement is torture.
Yes.
I'm a dropout from once wanting to become a psychiatrist, and so I have a little experience in this area. And when I went into my other career, I was arrested. When I became a detective and started arresting government officials, eventually they came after us, and I've done some jail time. I've never been convicted, by the way. But they will come after you. That's how corrupt this government is. And I had my people fudge the paperwork so I could go into general population because I knew where I would end up, which is solitary confinement, if they knew what I did for a living. So for, I'd say, about a month, I was doing fine in general population. I can get along with anyone.
Sure.
Well, they eventually figured out there was something wrong with the paperwork. So what did they do with me until they could figure it out? They put me in solitary confinement.
Tom, you've had some personal experience with it. You were saying you went to jail. You were a detective with the police. And in a past portion of your life, and apparently part of your job was to investigate the government. You came after some of those government people, and then they came after you, and you ended up in jail. Go ahead with your story.
Indeed. Just so people know, I was never convicted. And by the way, I'm not alone in that regard. There are plenty of people, millions and millions, imprisoned who have never been convicted of anything. They are simply awaiting trial.
That's true.
And they have a tendency, especially if they have a beef with you, to extend that period of time by doing little things with the paperwork and having judges do criminal things like forgetting to put property as something that can be put up for bail or giving you an excessive amount for bail. I remember going to a hearing and I had, I think it was over $1 million bail. And there were some fellows in the prisoner van complaining. The one guy said, "I can't believe they gave me a $50,000 bail. All I did was hold up 2 7-Elevens, and the gun wasn't even loaded, and nobody died this time." He was mad about $50,000 for doing 2 armed robberies. Here I was, a police detective, going after the government, and I had over $1 million bail. So,
wow.
Yeah, the system is a mess.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners. If you're like me, then you really enjoy Free Talk Live and the message of liberty. Yet you also may not have a lot of time to listen to an entire episode of Free Talk Live. So you listen to the Digest instead. If you enjoy the Digest, please donate $5 to $10 per month via Patreon or send some Bitcoin or Ether instead. See the show description for details on how to do so.
I ended up being confronted after about a month by several prison folks who do kind of like detective work. They call it classification. Mm-hmm. And they look at people and try to see, are they in gangs? Where should they be? And,
right. Where do we want to hold this person? Do we want to put them in,
right,
in a lower security area or lock them up tight?
Apparently something was noticed, and I was rather surprised that they were that thorough, that something was erased on some of my paperwork. Like I said, I had my people fix it, and they apparently had to do something quickly, and they could tell that something was wrong, and they got suspicious that I was there to investigate them. They suspected I was from some government agency, and they were accusing me, are you from the federal government, are you from the state? You're a detective. You're an investigator, aren't you? And I finally, just for, kicks, I looked at him and I said, are you kidding me? And I used some choice language. I said, look at me. Do I look like a government official? I'm in an orange clown jumpsuit with orange flip-flops. I'm a GD prisoner.
Daryl reminded us that he apparently had made a promise that he would turn himself over to the United States if the United States were to give Chelsea Manning clemency. Now, you had said, I think, that it was only if they would pardon.
My understanding was the words he used was pardon. So the commute would not count technically.
So I'm not sure. You know, is clemency, is that only a pardon or is that also a commutation? I'm not sure.
But my understanding is commute. He used the word pardon. They're different. And one is where the person is said that the basically a pardon says you're not guilty, I believe. And the
reverse
is saying
conviction.
You were guilty, but we're going to let you out early.
Something I wanted to bring up is I can't believe how upset so many people are about Chelsea Manning being commuted.
Where are you hearing the upset?
Online, on Facebook, pretty much every comment I see, like on the local news, I have that, and I look at the comments just to see what people think.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, people are pissed at Obama over this. They think that a lot of these people are people that support, like, you know, friends on my friends list. You know, people that support both Trump or Obama. You know, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, what are they saying? I mean, what are they saying? What are some of the comments? I mean, what is the gist of why they're mad about this?
You know, Obama is a terrible president. Why did he have to do this just before he left office? You know, Chelsea Manning deserved all of it. That wow. type of thing.
Now, Chris, you've been here for not quite a year, but getting
almost
closer.
March.
Getting
yeah,
closer.
Yeah. It's definitely been the best decision of
right
my
choice.
Life.
The right choice.
Absolutely. There's no place I'd rather be. It's
cold here, though.
It is, but you know, most of the time you're inside anyway, and
that's true.
It hasn't really been that bad.
I was inside most of the time in Florida, and it was hot there.
Yeah, it's, you know, every place has got, you know, it's got its issues, and honestly, sure. like, it's really, I don't know, maybe a month or two out of the year at the most where it's unbelievably cold, and most of that's probably in the early mornings, and, you know, depending
today
on...
Today it warmed up, it was in the 40s during
yeah.
the day, and it was like, wow.
Yeah,
really nice.
I think people tend to exaggerate as far as you know how terrible it is.
It's all relative. I mean, I remember being in. Look, I get cold easy. I don't like being cold. But I remember in Florida bundling up when it was 65 degrees out. Here it's like, you know, it gets down into the negatives sometimes during the coldest winter months, and then when it warms up to 30 or 40, it's like you know you're breaking a sweat almost. Not quite, but. It's a huge difference.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm also like kind of like I can't stand I have 70 degrees. That's what my house is set at. Mm-hmm. And you know, I can't like air conditioning. Yep, that's I want it, you know, I want that perfect temperature year round. And I've got it pretty much inside, but it definitely doesn't seem to be that I only moved from New Jersey, so that it's not that different as far as the weather. It's a little bit colder, but not that much colder.
I've put a lot of thought into this for a number of years. And, you know, the last time I called in, I had brought up the Liberstad project in Norway,
yeah.
where they're trying to build a private libertarian city.
Right.
And, you know, I kind of think that may be the best option for libertarians.
Well, there's a lot of different things out there. Different people are looking for different ideas. I mean, so there's the Liberstad, which is basically, you know, they've got some woods that they're going to be trying to build something in. There's Liberland, which is between Croatia and Serbia, which is basically a swampland with woods that they're going to try to build something there as soon as the Croatian government stops arresting them. and then there's also seasteading, where they want to build like a platform or there's the group like a platform out in the ocean that can be kind of moved around. And then there's also people who want to get like an old cruise ship and build a community there on the high seas. So, I mean, there's a bunch of different options out there for folks. I don't know if I agree with you that Liberstad is the best option, but certainly, you know, everybody's entitled to their own opinion about what they think is the best. I mean, to me, the best option is to go where thousands of libertarians are already and are already having success. We've got, you know, about 18 plus.
I wasn't talking about Liberstad per se. I was talking about the concept. I wasn't talking about, you
the
know,
concept
everybody
of,
go to Norway
of what? Building a city in the woods?
The concept of libertarians in New Hampshire, for that matter.
Oh, you're talking about the concept of concentrating activism in general. That's obviously the best option.
You know, the first thing we need to do is concentrate in an area. It doesn't matter if we're all in the same city because, you know, once you have enough people here, those types of projects become feasible. But if you don't, if you're too spread out, you know, it's just not going to happen.
Well, which is why I'm a critic of these projects like Blue Ridge Liberty Project, and now there's the Texas Freedom Grounds, where you basically have people who have picked a city or picked this plot of land like you're talking about in a state where, you know, there's no other allies anywhere else. It's just like, okay, we're all going to move on this plot of land way over here in Texas where there's, you know, however many, 20 million, 26 million or something like that people living in that state. It's a humongous state. And then what do they think? The government's just going to leave them alone? I mean, at some point, the government's going to come and say, we want our property taxes.
The problem is people think that you need a majority in order to have an effect on politics.
Well, yeah, he wanted to take over a county or something like that.
Yeah, you don't need to have a majority. What you need is an active minority. And those are the types of people who are going to move. So that's how you can succeed, even if you don't achieve, even if the free state, you know, even if 20,000 people never moved to New Hampshire.
They won't.
It
or at least
matter.
Not of the original 20,000.
Right.
I think eventually we'll
get
20,000.
I think we'll get 20,000. I think we'll get a lot more than 20,000. It's just going to take a lot longer. It's going to take a long time.
Once this becomes the undeniable liberty place.
It already is.
Yeah.
It already is.
I agree with that, but not everyone knows it.
Yeah, I agree. It's more of a marketing thing, I think, that, you know, we need to focus on. But the thing is, most people are not active in politics. You know, they'll get on Facebook, whatever.
Sure.
That doesn't change politics. What you need is more people, more libertarians running for offices. You need, more people, more libertarians going to, the state house. You need more activism. That's what's going to make the difference. You need more people putting out news articles, libertarian perspective news articles. That's what's going to influence politics.
One of the things that I think that breathed life back into the Shire Society forums is the fact that we put new software on there that's more modern, and like it's got little features to it that you don't realize it has that are really kind of that make it stand out to me. So like people who are used to Facebook and these social networking sites are used to, let's say, seeing posts pop up instantly. Like as soon as they type in their message and hit send, it pops up on the thread. Well, that's the same thing is true about the new Shire Society forums. The old forum, if you posted a message, then it would let you know, oh, so many people have posted a message since you started your message. Do you want to reload the page to read them? Well, on the discourse forums, the new Shire Society forums, it just pops in the posts. You don't have to reload the page once you post your message there. So it's a kind of a more seamless, flowing process. You can insert images in YouTube videos much easier. They show in the correct manner. So it's just a more modern version of a forum software, but yet it still retains that kind of old forum structure, and it feels familiar to people who remember forums.
Yeah, there's a lot of good resources on forums. That's something you're not going to get from Facebook. When I first search the internet, forums will come up, but you never have Facebook come up.
Did you ever hear about the Free State Wyoming movement?
You know, I looked it up after I heard about y'all. So after I heard about y'all, I read about the Free State Project, and I heard that Wyoming almost beat New Hampshire for it. And I was in Southeast Wyoming, so it's a little more like Colorado, but it's still, it's great. And there's only 500,000 people living there, so it's actually a smaller population than, a million plus or whatever. But you know, it's a nice place to live. I'd say 7 out of 8 people or tend to be more anti-government. At least the government should leave us alone. Mm-hmm. Yada yada yada. But I think that the future of repealing the federal government or whatnot is going to be some sort of nullification. And it's already happened up there in Montana. They had I've read friends from Montana and very similar, anti-government, kind of mindset. And, they did that with the semi, automatic ban so it's been done before. And I think, whether it was Obamacare or marijuana laws or whatever, I really think there was going to be a big movement. And I hope, and I've called before about this, and this is all I have to say, and I'll let you go, but I hope Trump doesn't stifle that, because I think we were really close, on the precipice. And listen, if Trump repeals Obamacare and he does some liberty oriented things that surprise everybody and make us all happy, then I'm all for that.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.